Good to see each of you here today. Let's take our hymn books and turn to 415. 415, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. 415. I need thee every hour.
Of Lord.
A couple of announcements here. First, as we announced last Sunday, we no longer have a candidate here currently. So that created some confusion as far as who our speakers are going to be. There is a list posted on the bulletin board there in the back, right above the offering boxes, with the most current information we have. For next, this coming Wednesday, Brother Dick Brew will be back with us at 7 o'clock for our Wednesday prayer and Bible study time. You'll be starting a new series, I believe, since First John is finished. And then next Sunday, we will have Cliff Zimmerman here. So we haven't seen him since prior to COVID. So it'll be good to have him back with us. And then, that's the most current information we have. The full list is there in the back, so you can take the time to look at it and see who the speakers are and keep track of that. Secondly, I made this announcement in briefly about the prayer bulletin. It has been reorganized. All the information is still there. It may be just a bit different from what you're used to. The guys talked about it, and we thought, you know what? Our number one priority before the Lord right now should be praying for a new pastor. So we decided to make that page the very first page. All right? So we have what we call other needs and our missionaries on the first page. The spiritual needs are now on the second page. The cancer page is now the third page. And also beneath that is answers to prayer and praises. And then the physical needs are on the back page. So that's all the information still there, as was always there, just in a little bit different format than it used to be. That way, you know, we wanted to keep the emphasis on praying for a new pastor. So that's why we did it that way. Okay? Last but not least, I saw a couple guys go up and sign up, but we still need people to sign up to take care of the lawn here at the church over the next several weeks. So if you're interested in that, the sign-up sheet is over here on the organ. And so I think that's all the announcements I have other than our normal offering. We don't pass a plate here. We just have you go before or after our services and put it in the box. We don't none of us need to know what each of us gives. That should be between you and the Lord. So if you need to, if you would like to do that, you can. In the back. Yes, Jim.
Yeah, I can make a quick announcement. I forgot to say something this morning.
Go ahead. Come on up.
I've been reading this book called The Autobiography of George Mueller. It is very inspirational. It's a great man of faith. I think everybody should read this book. I have gotten 5 copies. There in the back, you can see me, or I'll put them up front here. If anybody wants a copy, I will give you a copy. Okay, you can take it home, keep it, bring it back, maybe somebody else can read it. But I got 5 copies, and I think everybody should read this book. It's very inspirational. Great man of faith, great man of prayer. I said so. Okay, thank you.
Okay. I believe that's all the announcements that I'm aware of right now. Let's take our hymn books once again and turn to 532. 532. In times like these. 532.
This rock is Jesus, the only one. times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the
say what verses 1 and 2 say in abstract, but verse 3 is what's necessary. We have to apply it to ourselves, do we not? All right. One more song before the special and the message. Let's turn to 579. If you're able to stand, why don't we do so on this one? 579.
2 Kings chapter 4 this morning, verses 1 to 7. About 12 or 14 years ago on a Wednesday night, my wife and I were on our way to church, as is our habit. It was about a half hour drive at that time from our house to where we were meeting. And about halfway there, my cell phone rings. And it's our pastor. And he said, listen, Brother Prue, I've got an emergency. I am not going to make it tonight. I just can't leave this situation. Would you be able to preach tonight? And I'm a preacher's kid, but I'm one of these shy, retiring preacher's kids. And so back if you'd asked me that when I was 16 or 18, I would have said, no way. No, you get somebody else. But, over time, you start to, surrendering to what God wants you to do, and you get a little confidence. And so anyway, we pulled the car over, and I let my wife drive the rest of the way, and I got my Bible in front of me, and I said, now, what am I going to say here? And so I'm leafing through my Bible, and it opened to this particular text. And I had heard a message not too long prior to that, and I fumbled through my Bible. I had a few notes that I had taken. It's always a good practice to take notes, because you never know when that come in handy. So this was the passage that I preached on that night. But let's read it here this morning. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons, to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few." That's an important phrase right there. Borrow not a few. "And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, she said unto her sons, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. And she came and told the man of God. And he said, "Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." God's way out of trouble. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd use the word of God in our lives this morning. We pray it would be something that would encourage us. We pray you'd help us to give forth your word with power this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God's way out of trouble. God will provide. We have a problem here. We've got a plan. We've got a provision. And, you know, we've got a story here that tells us that there's a God in heaven who will meet needs. There's a God in heaven that will provide. And so looking at this here this morning, first of all, we see a desperate individual. This is a woman who has lost her husband. He was a good man. The Bible says here in verse number one, "Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord." And she's a desperate individual here in emotional pain. Can you imagine what she's going through? She's lost her husband. She's got two children. Doesn't say how old they are. I picture them being possibly teenagers because, number one, they were old enough to be wanted by the creditors to help them work, to be bondmen. And number two, they were old enough to go out to the neighbors and collect pots, so they must have had some dexterity and physical ability about them. So I picture them to be maybe teenagers, young teenagers, maybe mid-teenagers, I'm not sure. But she's in emotional pain here. She's in an economic plight. She's got no money to pay the bills. And the creditors have been knocking at her door, threatening to take her children. So she brings up also here an endearing past, though she's remembering to Elisha, her husband. You knew my husband. You remember him. He was a good man. He loved the Lord. He served the Lord. But now she's in an extreme predicament, and she's about to lose her children. Now, she's already lost her husband, and she has no money. All she has is a pot of oil. She's got no contingency plan here, no insurance, you know, nothing to fall back on. She's about to lose. The only thing that's really probably important to her is her two boys, and she's about to lose them. So she moves to the next thing here. And by the way, this is not because of sin that she's in trouble here. This was a family that was serving the Lord. It says that her husband was of the sons of the prophets. And so, I love the stories in the Old Testament because they're so practical. There's so many truths that you can pull out of them, especially if you study through the life of Elisha. There's a lot of the story of the floating axe head. That's another great one. I mean, and then of course the Shunammite woman, but anyway, this is the one that we're talking about here this morning. So first of all, we've got a desperate individual. Secondly, we've got a direct inquiry here. She tells the man of God her whole predicament. She rehearses the whole situation to him. My husband's gone. My money's gone. This is the situation that I'm in. And so she tells that to him. And his answer here in verse 2 seems a little bit cold at first. He says, "What shall I do for thee? Your husband's dead. You don't have any money. You don't have any backup plan. The creditors have come. They're about to take your boys. What do you expect me to do? I'm a preacher. You know, I'm a prophet. What can I do for you?" It's kind of the way you first look at it. But what he's doing here, he's about to direct her attention to the only person that can help her. And that's God. The God of heaven is where she's going to have to get her help from. He's the only one that can help her. And, did you come to me for help, he's saying, or did you want God's help? I can't help you, but I know somebody who can help you. And I'm going to give you a plan here that will tell you how to get the help that you need. And first we've got an admitted desire here that she shares with him. But then we've got an availability discussion that goes on here between these two. He says, what do you want me to do? Let's start with what you've got. What do you have in the house? And, well, that probably made her even more discouraged. I don't have anything. All I have is a pot of oil. That's all we've got. And, what a question. It's not really so much a question of what do you have, but it's more of a question, can God have what you have? That's what he's asking here. And so, what do you have this morning? You know, Moses had a stick. David had a slingshot. The little lad on the hillside had a small lunch. What do you have this morning? But even more important than that is, can God have what you have? Are you willing to let him have it? Don't ask for what you don't have until you're willing to give God what you do have. That's important. That's important to remember. And sometimes we get a little bit insecure and we say, listen, I don't really have much. I don't feel too good today. I didn't sleep last night. The older I get, the less I sleep. And it's when I need it more. I could go on a little sleep when I was young because I had lots of energy and strength. But now that I get old, I find I have trouble sleeping. So, but anyway, sometimes we have these kind of excuses. My money is a little short right now. My car's not working real well. Basically, I'm a shy person. I never had really good grades. Maybe go find somebody else. But the fact of the matter is, God wants you, and he wants what you have. And so you need to be willing to give it to him. Now, we see here some detailed instructions. He says, what do you have? And she said, well, all I've got is this pot of oil. He said, that's all? That's all you've got? No bank account? No. How about some rich friends that could help you out? No, I don't have any rich friends. How about maybe somebody owes you a favor? You got somebody that owes you a favor? Maybe they could help you with this situation. No, she didn't have that. Nobody owes her anything. What's your credit like? Well, she didn't have any credit either. And so she said, that's it? A pot of oil? Now she's really discouraged. But then he said, well, all right, here's what we'll do. We're going to have to come up with a plan here. Go borrow some vessels, some empty vessels, empty ones, and not a few. Well, all she's got is two legs and two sons. So that's what she starts with here on this solution to her problem. You notice she needs personal aggression here. He says, borrow not a few. Not a few. Don't just go next door and get a vessel from your neighbor. Go all over. You know, get as many as you can get. Just borrow not a few. And this was going to take some private attention. She was going to need to maybe get involved and do this herself, but she was also going to need to involve her children. And by the way, that's important when you serve the Lord, to involve your children. Your children need to see God work. Your children need to see answered prayers. Your children need to see your faithful service for Christ and the benefit of it. And so there was some persuaded activity going on here, and that involved it's going to involve the Lord here soon. But notice, up to this point, God's not involved yet. There's some instructions here, maybe, but there's nothing but her meeting with the prophet, and so this activity required faith to start collecting pots. Now, that would take some faith, because all she's got is this little pot of oil. What do I need all these pots for? I've got a pot, and my oil's in the pot. Why do I need more pots? And so now we get to the point where God gets involved. We have divine intervention here. God finally gets involved when he sees the faith of this widow woman in action. And so there's proper obedience here, and obedience matters. It pays to do what God tells you to do. It pays to be obedient in your Christian life. If you want God to bless you, I would have loved to have been there when the boys got back with all the pots. And you know when you get some teenagers excited about doing something for Christ, it's fun to watch. Because they get behind the program, and I can just see them getting excited when they brought the pots in, and they probably filled the room, and maybe filled the outside of the room. Maybe they had them stacked outside, you know, and they're just wondering what's going to happen. What are we doing this for? And so she started pouring out the oil, and I can just see the boys. I can just see their eyes light up as this little pot of oil keeps filling pot after pot after pot after pot. And it's a good thing to involve your children so they can see the results of obedience in your life. It's going to make them want to live for Christ. It's going to make them want to be obedient. And so how many vessels did she fill? How many vessels did she fill? She filled the exact amount of vessels that they collected. Now, I'm sure she as she filled the, she gets to verse number six, she says to one of her sons, she says, "Bring me yet a vessel." And I'm sure the boys are scurrying around. There isn't any more vessels. That's all we brought, Mom. That's it. And every vessel that they brought was full. Now, I believe if they had brought 100 more, they'd have been filled too. But they filled every vessel that they brought. Every one. And so the exact amount that she borrowed was filled. The amount of blessing that we have in our Christian lives is determined by the amount of obedience that we exhibit before God. That determines the amount of blessing. And so there's an amazing supply here. Every pot is filled. And so then he gives an important point here. He says in in verse number 7. She came to the man of God and told him, hey, you know, the oil just lasted. I filled up all these vessels that you told me to bring. They're all full. He said, all right, go sell the oil. Now she's starting to figure out what's happening here. She had enough faith to obey, not knowing what the result would be. But now he says, go sell the oil and pay your debt. And then you'll be able to keep your kids. So now it's starting to clear up, and she's starting to see what's happening here. And that's important, to remember your responsibilities. She had to pay her debt first. I believe if she hadn't paid her debt, it wouldn't be true down at the bottom where he said you can live off the rest. If she'd have tried to hoard it for herself, I think it would have run out right away. But he says, remember your responsibilities. You've got these debts. Go pay them. That's what this is all about. And so pay your bills. And then there was an absolute sufficiency that if you do that, then you can be able to keep your kids, and you and your children together are going to be able to live off the rest. What an answer to prayer. She starts out here in the beginning. She's in desperate straits. I'm sure she's discouraged. She doesn't know what's going to happen here. She's about to lose her children now. Now she's not only going to be able to pay her debt, keep her children, but there's going to be enough left that she can live off the rest. And every time they went back to that pot, there was oil. Every time. Every time. So in closing, I'd just like to say one thing, and that is we need to be obedient and then trust God. Be obedient. Obey what you know to do, and then trust God, and He's going to meet the needs. He's going to be the solution to all the problems. But it comes by the level of our obedience will determine the level of God's blessing in our lives. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for these stories that were not just put there for fun. They were put there to teach us principles, and that if we will take the Word of God and apply the simple messages that are very clear, you will show us how to live. And I pray that in this hour that you've put us here on this earth, that you'd find us faithful, doing your work the way it should be done, and that you will bless us for that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, let's take our hymn books and turn to the very back, beyond the index, 817. 817, I need Jesus. This has happened many times here before, but I couldn't help but notice how I had no idea what the Lord had laid upon Brother Prue to speak about today. But yet the songs went right with the message, and neither of us know that, but God did. So that's always a blessing when something like that happens, and that tells us that God's in charge here and not us, all right? And that's what we need. All right, let's have a closing word of prayer. Father, we thank you for each one who was able to be here today. So many of us have various needs. Some we mention and some we don't. And we all have needs of various types. You know each one. Help us to seek you for help in every situation, whatever the situation may be, whether it seems relatively simple or whether it's seems humanly impossible. Either way, you're in complete control and know what is best for each one of us. Help us not to forget that. As we heard earlier, often we seek you and your word as a last resort rather than doing that first thing. So help us to get our lives right in that regard and seek you. Whatever situation we happen to be facing at the time. Help us too, when you bring us through a difficult time, to remember what you did for us. And when we come across someone else who is facing something similar, we can be of encouragement to that person and say, here's the situation I dealt with, and here's what God did to help me through it. God will do the same for you too. Help us to do those things that would be of help and encouragement to other people. Help us to be about your business, sharing your word with people whenever we have an opportunity, and seeking to live lives that would be right before you as a good testimony, so that others will want to ask about the hope that lies within us and help us to be prepared with the right answer. Thank you now for our time together. Dismiss us with your blessing. Help us to be safe as we drive to our destinations. And help us to be back here at the next appointed time. We thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good day.